All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass, the third and final interview on my Sunday. So save the best for last here. And joining me today is women's basketball junior guard, Carly Stone. So, Carly, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully my voice isn't too hoarse here. So I'm going to, I've got some tea lined with honey I'll be drinking throughout the interview. But, Well, let's start, with the doubleheader yesterday. Vikings, you know, both men's and women's, a nice clean sweep. Both scored 80 to get it done, although the girls took care of business in the four quarters. But kind of avenging that December loss up at North Central. But what were your just kind of general thoughts on the game yesterday?
Well, as you know, we've been struggling a little bit over this, the season, kind of just finding our rhythm, I'd say, overall. So this game, going into this game, especially late in CCIW, going into the second half of the league, going into this game, we were just focusing on those little things and finding, you know, how to play basketball with each other. And after the game, I think we did just that. It was a team effort. And the energy was there, which we have been struggling with. So I'm walking away from that game very proud of the team. So
100%. You were pretty efficient, 13 points, a couple of rebounds, a steal in 19 minutes. And what I thought was, you know, kind of a nice, kind of a staggering stat, frankly, was points in the paint. 42 for the Vikings and just 18 from North Central. And as I think about, you know, someone like North Central who has some taller players inside, you know, I mean, how did your game plan just really kind of drive that type of dominance down in the paint?
I think honestly going into it, that wasn't really necessarily like our focus. We definitely have been focusing on paint touches and just like getting it into our stronger guards like Paige, me, Jazzy, even Audrey posts up here and there. So that's kind of been our general focus for this season, is taking advantage of our strength, not necessarily height. So going into this game, we saw it as an early advantage, and especially like pushing the ball. They were so focused on Callie. So whenever she got the ball, it was easy dump downs, and our transition was on very good. A lot of those were easy points in the paint. So I just, yeah, going into it, it was really, you know, that's kind of been an emphasis of the season, really. And we took advantage of it for sure. They weren't, I don't really know if they were fully expecting it, because last time we played them at North Central, we really didn't have the same strength and confidence as a team. So going into this, it was, yeah, definitely a key aspect to our win last night.
Well, I think to your point around like some of the consistency and, that the team's experienced, typically you'll hang around, through, halftime, and then, you've seen it drop off a little bit in the second half. But you and the team really put together a complete game. And, it definitely helps when Callie has a double-double down the paint, 17 points and 11 rebounds. And, I thought she played awesome. She's had some really good games over the last, month. But it also feels like, even with the couple of prior losses, it feels like the team has still been on an upward trajectory. The press break, I was actually texting, with one of the parents that was watching at home, and we kept commenting on, felt like yesterday that breaking the press break, it didn't seem like the team was as flustered. And I know there's been a lot of emphasis on it this year and working that, but I mean, how do you feel like the team has, really been gelling a bit more as of late, which is super important? I mean, five games left in the season. But here really since, the new year, it feels like, it's been a little bit of a new team to some degree. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Really, we've just had a lot of individual talent, and that's kind of what we started with at the beginning of the season. And we weren't focusing a whole lot on playing as a team. We were focusing on how do we combine these talents to make a team. And I think now we're, as individuals, are starting to realize how we can play with each other, what each other's strengths are. And, you know, going into the press, Cadence and I could, you know, we can break it. But it was just us two, you know, we need others. And now that we have Audrey in the mix, she knows where we're going to go. She knows how we're going to cut. So now it's nice, and it's definitely less stressful because a lot of those turnovers were coming from the press early in the season, and teams were getting those easy points. So now, and especially last night, you know, we were handling with a lot of poise, just taking their pressure and kind of putting it right back at them with progressing the ball up the court at a fast pace.
Yeah. And, you know, Sierra Hull's been kind of working herself into that mix on the press break, you know, kind of working the sideline there. It just seemed like the team was way more, you know, poised and composed, and was pretty darn successful in, you know, getting some fast break points, you know, there as well. And, you know, in the CCIW, a lot of the teams press, and they press often, and they press early. So, you know, it's something that, you know, if you show that you can break it early, kind of makes the game go a little bit easier. But if not, it's like they double down on it and, yep, you know, we'll try and get you as flustered as possible. So I thought that was awesome to see. And, you know, the game was close, and, you know, it really seemed like, you know, taking a lot of really good shots, and but it's nice having, you know, the size of Callie, I think, down low, that's added another dimension, you know, as well. So I know Tia Lewis, you know, she's done a nice job so far, you know, down there in the paint as well. But it you can't coach size, you can't coach length, and that's kind of what Callie brings, which is nice. But now, I've talked about this on both episodes here today, but just not trying to beat a dead horse here, but the court was slippery, and I wasn't quite sure because Audrey had mentioned it, you know, to the ref, and I think the ref was like, I don't know if I believe that. You're just trying to get, you know, some extra time here, but it seemed like it kind of held a lot of weight because the boys were complaining about it as well in the second game. I mean, what was the court like?
Yeah, we've been struggling with having a very slippery court. We got some of the baseball has been practicing, and so has softball, and there's a lot of just like dust and like the dirt from their shoes. So it's been a struggle with practices as well. So I don't know if it's, I'm not really sure, but yeah, it was definitely, it's definitely a problem. It was very slippery last night. Thankfully I didn't have too many things that bugged me with slipping. So I was able to get away with a clean game of not slipping, but there has been times, especially when I'm like diving for a ball, that it's kind of dangerous. So yeah, that's funny that you do mention it, because yeah, especially Audrey and like Cadence, girls that are constantly cutting and moving fast with the ball, they need to have traction. And but yeah, last night was definitely not a good night for the floor.
Yeah, it seemed like it was like, it wasn't like wet or necessarily dust, but like almost like an oily type of, you know, yeah, thing. And which can be a little hard to see, but it is what it is, at the end of the day. Now, you know, being from the Portland area, Beaverton, Oregon, I mean, how did your college search land you at Augustana from the kind of the upper Northwest?
Yeah. So, I get asked this question a lot because everyone always sees Oregon and they're like, why in the world are you in the Midwest? I actually, my parents grew up in a small town, like an hour and 15 minutes away from Augustana. And both of their families still live here extended as well. So we were actually the only part of my family that lived outside of the Midwest. And my sister, actually, she's 7 years older than me, and she decided to come out to the Midwest for college. She went to Loyola. And then she got married and ended up moving to Wisconsin with her husband near her husband's family. So I knew they were going to start having kids soon, and I just wanted to be near family. I've been missing out, you know, for 18 years. I just wanted to have some family time. So I decided to move out here and go to Augustana. I ended up just sending mass emails to D3 schools with good academics. And I got lucky with a response from Coach B, and they were accepting me with open arms. So that's kind of how I ended up here. Also with the fact that they just had the new kinesiology major with like state-of-the-art facilities. So I was like all in for that as well. So yeah, that's how I kind of ended up here.
Well, I saw, you know, the, as everything is on the internet, you know, I tracked down an Instagram post where, you know, my name's Carly Stone. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and your commitment and just the plan to study kinesiology at Augie, you know, that has been, I mean, I think it's been a huge investment for the Vikings and for Augustana, just for the college in general, but you know, especially for a lot of the student athletes that want to pursue that, you know, that profession, you know, afterwards. And it's a pretty easy sell when you see, you know, that facility, the lab and all the things that, you know, come along with it. I mean, what's the, you know, how has that been just being in the kinesiology track and, you know, inside like, you know, the Lindbergh building and everything that it has to offer? I mean, what's that experience been like?
It's been really great. It's definitely opened my eyes up. I came into college a little bit unsure. I knew I wanted to be close to sports, but I didn't want to go to school just to, you know, be a coach or, you know, I wanted to focus more on like the sciencey side of it. And being here and taking all these classes, I'm over halfway through my major already. And it's just, it's very affirming. You know, I picked the right path, and I am definitely exploring and advancing my passion for sports medicine, which is really great. And I'm just learning so much. The kinesiology department, they're all very like supportive and very like guiding. Cause I'm, like I said, I don't really know what I want to do right now. I'm thinking physical therapy. So they're just being great on kind of guiding me and helping me with pick what classes I need and what's most important for my future. And the labs are just great. I've had a few opportunities so far. This past J term, I actually took a physiology at high altitudes class, and we were testing our VO2 max and stuff like that using all the equipment in the lab. And it was very cool and very eye opening. A lot of things that I had no idea. You know, I was just learning so much every day, and the technology is just insane, the things that we can learn about our bodies. So it's been very cool, and I'm excited to continue my education.
You know, it's funny you mention like high altitude fitness, and because I was in Denver after I graduated from Augie, I went and spent just shy of 8 years in Colorado, and you know, got so used to it. I mean, I'd come back here and play in, you know, like Thanksgiving flag football tournaments and stuff like that, and it was just like never getting tired. You know, and 'cause I'd been, you know, playing constantly at high altitude. But even, you know, when my brother came out, you know, he wanted to go and do a 14er. I'm like, all right, we'll go do an easy one. We'll go do Grays and Torrey's. We can do it in a day. Summit to, you know, 14 peaks and about 11,000, you know, feet. He's just like, you know, felt he was dying. So we didn't even get to do it. We had to come back down. you know, so you think about just like the elevation and training at elevation, and, you know, they've got the high altitude mass to simulate that, you know, that you can train at lower levels. The stuff is pretty cool. And I mean, to spend your J term, you know, learning that, you know, gosh, if it were me, I'd probably be, you know, running in a high altitude mass constantly. But I mean, being a kinesiology major, being a part of that, being a student athlete, I mean, what are some things that you've kind of learned and, you know, you've taken away and kind of implemented, you know, into your kind of, you know, training routine and, you know, either what you eat, how you train, how you recover? Has there been some things that you've kind of adjusted over the last, you know, year or two?
I will say, especially after this last class, learning about high altitude physiology, the something that I want to implement, but I guess I don't really have the access to right now is the live high, train low kind of mechanism. So where you live at a high altitude and then you're training at a low one. And the living at high, it gives you all the physiology benefits of kind of adapting and, you know, increasing all the different physiological aspects. But then when you're training at low, you're still able to train at the highest power output, I guess, so the highest intensity of your workouts when you're not able to do that at high altitude. So I thought that was really cool. I wish I could do it, but I don't have the access to it. But definitely outside of that, I've taken in my biomechanics class, really focusing on kind of form of like your running gait and just like all these different things to like prevent injury. Out of my biomechanics class, we learned a lot, but I kind of focused more on injury prevention because I was most interested in that. I've taken away a lot of things and just like focused on little things that I guess I never really thought about. Things that I developed as habits that probably aren't the best, you know, for preventing injury. And it's kind of helped me a lot, like with my knees and stuff and lower back, different things like that. So I guess those are a few things that I've actually taken away from kinesiology here at Augustana. So
yeah, and there's going to be probably tons more. So that's
good. Yeah, exactly.
You know, as I was looking at that post and just thinking about, you know, some of the other things, like, you know, you said, you know, you love going out with friends, music filled drives, working out, shopping, hikes, anything to have a good time. So it made me think a little bit like, okay, on those music filled drives, like what's that, you know, what's on that playlist?
Oh, geez. There's a lot of different things. I'd say when that post went out, it was probably a lot of country in the summer. I'm definitely country listener, especially when I'm driving in the car. Right now, I'd say I'm on a Fleetwood Mac kick right now.
Definitely listening. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely listen to some 70s stuff right now. But I go all over the place. I love music. I could listen to anything. I could back anybody's music taste. So yeah, pretty much anything. I'm all around.
Now, what about, you know, when it comes to like, you know, pregame, you know, getting things going, do you still kind of stick within that genre, or do you have any like songs that you kind of like to rotate in and out to get you, you know, ready for a game?
Getting ready for a game, a lot of Fleetwood Mac, but like more of the upbeat stuff. But then I also listen to like, there's some Drake in there. I've got a couple, you know, just hip hop rappers, you know, a lot of the current music. And then from one of my teammates, Loli, she actually gave me a lot of like Latin, Spanish music. And that really gets me going. It's fun. It's very hype and like upbeat and just makes me want to like dance a little bit. So all those different things. Again, I listen to a lot of different things. So, and of course our pregame playlists, you know, all those songs are kind of in the mix as well. So
now you said, you know, as well as like shopping, like when you say shopping, like what does that mean? Like what are you shopping for? Is it more like clothes or is it more like, you know, electronics and other things?
Definitely clothes. Clothes and shoes are definitely my top purchases when I'm just going out shopping.
Now, when you say shoes, are you thinking like sneakers, like a basketball type shoe, or
like, yeah, sneakers, and then just like any Nike shoe, really. I'm a Nike girl for sure. So especially living in Oregon, it was, you know, that was our easy access shoe. So I'm definitely into all like the current shoes and, you know, all the drops and all that stuff. So that's definitely the main. And then I'm kind of getting into a little bit more like New Balance has some nice shoes that are coming out. So
yeah, New Balance is they've stepped their game up. There's been a few over the last couple of years I really like, and you know, it used to be the dad shoe, you know, and now it's like, well, they still do the dad shoe, but they have some others that are pretty cool too. And you know, but it they you know, it's kind of like that Air Max 90 kind of look, you know, casual, you know, type of sneaker that, you know, that I think they compete with. And, Trevor Jassar, our SID, he's a little bit of a sneakerhead. So he's usually got, you know, Jordans and stuff on. And, I got my first pair of Jordans. So, you know, growing up, you know, didn't really have a ton of money. You know, so like, you know, I got the Air Pippins when they came out. That was like the coolest shoe I've ever had. Although I say that, but then I also, it wasn't crazy expensive, but the Sean Kemp Reebok Kamikazes, those were, you know, those were also the jam. I had those in sixth grade, I believe, or seventh grade. And then, I got my first Jordans, just a couple months ago. And I was like walking through Dick's and I'm like, all right, I was on a mission. I'm like, okay, I can afford a pair of Jordans now. I'm going to go do it. My wife doesn't understand, you know, kind of what that means. Cause she's always like, you know, why are we getting Jordans for the kids? And I'm like, because they want them and because it's cool. And I can never afford to as a kid. So, you know, it's the pleasures, I guess, of life. But they had the light blue patent leather 11, like retros, and, you know, and yes, they were over $200. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. And I was like, if they have my size, I'm doing it. And it was actually my size was the last one they had in stock. So I was like, 100%. Yeah. Like what's your favorite shoe, like in your collection?
Oh, I think I'm just going to have to stick to the originals. I have a UNC Jordan 1 highs. Those are probably my favorites, and I never wear them. They're like definitely like off. I've worn them maybe twice. But when I was my first basketball shoe, my dad's a Chicago Bulls fan, like all through and through. So he was like, you need to have Jordans, need to be your first basketball shoe. So I had a pair of yellow and blue, ironically, Jordan 1s as my first basketball shoe. Jordan has something that's kind of bonded me and my dad. So Jordan shoes, any Jordan shoes, probably like my favorite. I also have a pair of 4s that are also just, 4s are great. So those are my also favorite. And any just like Air Forces are honestly an easy go-to that I actually can wear without feeling bad about myself. without stressing about ruining them or anything. Dunks too. Shoes that I'm not afraid to ruin.
right. Yeah, I was like, you know, I could buy these and put them on a shelf and be fine. But I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to wear them. If like I had, you know, one of the original like patent leather 11s, like I really wanted the black on black with the red sole. And, you know, those were like, just could never find them. And then, you know, if I did, I couldn't afford them back then. But, super cool stuff. You know, just kind of unique things, you know, a little bit about basketball, but it's also just like so ingrained into culture and, you know, the influence they've had. And, love it. Now, what do you think is something, this has been a question I've been asking recently, what's something maybe surprising about you that most people wouldn't expect or know?
That's a tough one. I think one thing could be that basketball was actually not my first sport. And it wasn't my favorite. I grew up, I was born in Colorado Springs, and soccer was the go-to sport there when you were little. And it was a very competitive club atmosphere. So I started playing soccer right away, and it was my favorite sport and couldn't live without it. So I started playing, I think, when I was around like 4. And I continued all the way up until my sophomore year of high school. And by that time we were in Oregon. And that was when kind of COVID hits, things were kind of crazy. And ultimately, I made the decision at that point because soccer was more stressful for me and not so much fun. And with COVID, I wanted to focus on something that was fun for me. You know, we were with family, so I was spending a lot of time with family and focusing on basketball. And honestly, the people that basketball brought me was also another reason why I picked basketball. It was just, I was surrounded with a bunch of girls that shared same interests as me, and we just got along great. So I decided to go with club basketball fully instead of, you know, dividing my time. And yeah, I made that switch, and a lot of people always just thought I played basketball, and soccer have always been like a big part of my life and kind of what got me into sports to begin with. So yeah, I think that's probably something that, you know, people wouldn't really expect.
So born in Colorado Springs, when did you move to Beaverton or out to Oregon?
I moved when I was 8. We moved, my dad's job is the reason why my parents left the Midwest to begin with. And they've been everywhere. They've moved to Vermont and then moved to New Mexico. And that's where my sister was born. And then moved to Colorado Springs. And then we moved out to Oregon. And that's kind of where I say I grew up, because most of my time, I obviously remember being in Oregon. I don't really remember too much about Colorado Springs, except the little things. So yeah.
Well, have you been back to Colorado Springs at all for any reason, or?
I haven't been back since, but me and my sister have been trying to make plans, and her husband actually just went back. I think it was a couple summers ago, and she was just over the moon. She was like, we need to go back. So
yeah. Yeah,
I
it was awesome.
Want to soon.
I spent almost 8 years out there in Denver, and you know, it's yeah, such a cool area. And you know, talk about high altitude training, like go down to the Springs and go tackle the incline, you know, there as well. And so you want to talk about reaching your CO2 max there, you'll do so about halfway up. It's a cool area, because you know, they got the Olympic training facility there. And well, a buddy of mine was doing the incline, you know, and he thought he was doing something. And he said, I was going up, and I thought I was going up at, you know, pretty quick, and said that Apollo Ohno, carrying his mountain bike, just darted past him like he was standing still. And, you know, so he's like, oh, that's what an Olympic athlete is like. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
it's a cool area for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been out to Portland, never been to Oregon. You know, so if I went out to visit, what are maybe some like top spots you would recommend? Like you gotta, like I can give you for days recommendations in the Denver area. So you have to let me know when you go. But now if I was going to Portland, what would you tell me? You gotta go do this.
There's definitely a lot of different things. It kind of depends on the time that you go, but I would recommend you go during the spring, because that's when the Japanese cherry blossoms start to bloom. So the whole boardwalk in Portland is just all the pretty trees, and it's all pink and they're all freshly bloomed. It's beautiful. Any walk really, just downtown by the bridges. I don't know exactly how many bridges off the top of my head, but it's, we've got a lot of bridges. It's just really pretty to walk down there. Salt and Straw is a great ice cream place. There's also like Voodoo Donuts. I don't know if you've heard of Voodoo Donuts.
They did a Voodoo in Denver, yeah, a couple years before I left.
Yeah,
yep.
They expanded, yeah, yeah. So Voodoo Donuts is another like staple, like Portland you got to go to. Kind of outside of Portland, it's Din Tai Fung. It's actually a Asian restaurant. It's amazing. It is my favorite thing in the whole wide world. My dad actually first discovered it. He travels like overseas, and he actually went to it. I'm not sure in what country specifically, but he was in Asia, and he discovered it there. And then when he found out they were making one in Oregon, he like flipped out. It was only like 15 minutes away from our house. It's like, it's delicious. It's definitely a must eat. Yeah, I don't know. We got a lot of fun things. You know, we have the beach as well. We're in the middle. Portland's kind of like in that valley of being in between the beach, the mountains, and the desert. So it's kind of nice there. You got a lot of different things you can do. Mount Hood, obviously. I'm a big skier, being from Colorado. My family, you know, had me skiing at a young age. So any chance I got to go to Mount Hood and ski was super fun. Yeah, again, the beach, Cannon Beach is definitely my favorite beach to go to. I actually, one of my club teammates owns a candy shop, Bruce's Candy Kitchen. That's an also a must go to. And then, yeah, Bend is more of like that desert kind of, definitely reminds me of Colorado. It's just beautiful. And then being in Oregon, just all the hikes that you can go to, easy access, the gorge is beautiful. Multnomah Falls is a popular one. That's why hikes I put down for that post too. Oregon definitely, and Colorado grew my love for hiking and just being outdoors. So yeah, those are definitely a few of the musts. There's many more that I could name, but those are the broad things for sure to do when you're in Portland.
Now, one of my favorite shows is Portlandia. Now, never having been to Portland, I mean, how accurate of a depiction is that from your perspective?
I definitely say there are people that are like to a T, you know, the characters straight out of Portlandia. I'd say that is a great, you know, stereotype for Portland people to have. It's definitely accurate.
I love it. I love Fred Armisen though. I think he's hilarious. The Vikings, you know, let's maybe talk a little bit of basketball. 8-12, 5 games left in the season. You know, as you think about kind of the next 5 games, 3 on the road, 2 at home, what do you think is going to be like keys for the team, you know, to focus on as you kind of close out the season? And it looks like there's a path yet still to the conference tournament. So what would be some things that the team needs to focus on to make that happen?
I think our biggest things is really focusing on playing together as a team. We obviously have seen the success when we do that. But to do that, we also need to keep high energy. A lot of the times we get too focused on, you know, individual things and how we are playing as an individual rather than a whole. And it affects our energy and our communication on the floor. And we have learned through many different games of hard losses and stuff like that. And especially in the wins, when we are talking all the time, that talking is very important, and maintaining that energy throughout the whole game. It's definitely key factors to this win. Team basketball, sharing the ball. When we find our rhythm, it's really hard to stop us. Our defense has been really coming together, and it has improved drastically over the season. So riding out this wave that we are on right now, I think we're finally seeing an understanding, you know, being a young group, that these games truly matter, and that we need to lay our hearts out on the floor every night and really put everything we have into these games. You know, especially now, every game really matters. And like you said, we are still, you know, on that path to making it to conference tournament, but we really have to, you know, focus on these little things right now and continue riding out this this way from last night's win.
Because it's what, the top 6 to make the conference tournament, right?
Yes, top 6, yeah.
Yeah, and because I was looking, it's like, you know, Vikings are, you know, if you kind of look at the conference standings, like the first team out, but it's like the win yesterday, you know, that pushed North Central further. You know, Wheaton and Elmhurst play each other Wednesday. Well, that's going to help, you know, there as well. And then, you know, you've really got, you know, Vikings have Wheaton on the schedule, which is still good. And so there's a nice little path there. But, you know, take a couple of wins, I think, you know, to make it certainly happen. But But again, a lot of times, you know, when folks get into the tournament, it's about how well they're playing when they enter it. And it's not, you know, what happened before the turn of the year. You know, when teams can get hot at the right moment, you know, that's when you don't want to win the conference tournament before January, put it that way. So, now if you're Illinois Wesleyan, that's a different story. They're just a great team. but besides that, so that should be awesome. You know, it's your junior year, as you're going into your senior year, are you looking to, apply and do some internships here locally then? What's your kind of thought around that?
Yeah, I'm thinking about, working at, Rock Valley. That's kind of my hope, getting some physical therapy experience, there. And then I also I've been a camp kind of leader, at the YMCA. And I just moved to, I actually have an apartment in Davenport, and I'm like right next door to the new YMCA there. So I'm kind of hoping to also get some, you know, hands-on experience with some kids there as well. And keep exploring that path of like coaching and honestly even teaching at that point, but also with the focus, you know, being around sports and activities. So that's kind of like two of my main goals for this summer, is just really getting more experience and kind of narrowing down and fully deciding on what I want to do going forward with like my master's. So,
mm-hmm. Do you think you'll stay kind of in the Midwest, or what are you thinking about that?
Yeah. So I think I'm definitely obviously leaning more towards the Midwest just because of family. But I'm also really missing Oregon. You know, this is a drastic change going from Oregon to the Midwest. Being around family is great, but I am definitely missing the nature aspect of Oregon. So I think Oregon's also an option for my master's. And then I'm also leaving kind of Texas out on as an option as well, just to experience something new. I think that would be super cool to live down there for a little bit as well. So I'm kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Well, you know, the nice thing is you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, you kind of just take the opportunities as it comes. And I always like to say, you know, things happen for a reason, you know, regardless. And, you know, I never would have thought, you know, even when I graduated from Augie, like I would have lived 8 years in Colorado. And half the reason my girlfriend, now wife, at the time, you know, she moved to Colorado because I said, oh, I'm never moving back to Iowa. And then after she moved out there, 9 months later, 10 months later, we were back in Iowa. So, you know, had zero interest. So you literally just never know what's going to happen. So, you know, so it's good to have options open. And I always say, like, go and explore and do what you can, you know, as early as you can. And, but I love it. Now, lastly, you know, I saw you made the dean's list, or you've been on the dean's list. I tried to look at the last one, but it looks like there's maybe some, something incorrect. So they had pulled it down. You know, where does that kind of drive for excellence really kind of come from?
Honestly, it started, in college, I'd say. In high school, I really wasn't too focused on, academics. I was more focused on, you know, playing basketball and soccer and hanging out with friends. School kind of came easy to me, in high school, so I really didn't need to work too hard. So then coming to Augie, obviously it's, you know, academically challenging. So I really needed to focus and, really kind of, it was like self-taught, you know, studying mechanisms and things like that. And I really had to, you know, go through a lot of struggles to kind of figure out what best helps me. And after I kind of figured it out, then I was able to, you know, apply different like learning habits and, studying habits outside of academics and, you know, making little like programs for, and like kind of creating a schedule really for time for school, time for basketball, time for friends, you know, even just, you know, like self-reflection time, just being alone for a bit. So that has helped me get to, you know, being on Dean's list, and then also just focusing, you know, more on school, and it's helping me, yeah, kind of strive to get Dean's list every time. And, you know, an A minus is upsetting, which is something that I was happy, you know, with getting a B, and, you know, so now it's like, oh, I'm an A minus, like, really. But it's kind of, it's great growth for me to see, like, individually, because, like I said, I really wasn't academically driven with grades. I wanted to go to the best school, but that didn't always mean I wanted to get the best grades. So now that I've finally hit that point, I'm proud of myself, I would say. And I'm just looking forward to continuing. So, yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, because that seemed very similar to, like, my path at Augie. I, you know, high school was easy, came easy, didn't have to really do much to be successful at it. And, you know, I was a first generation college student, and it was so difficult when I went to Augie, because I didn't really have anybody else to lean on outside of just trying to figure it out. It took me about a year to really figure it out. And I know going into my sophomore year, I was like, okay, I had to get a tutor, and, you know, lean on someone that, you know, knew how to study and could help me learn how to study. Yeah, because I was at a point where I was struggling academically just to make sure I could stay there and be eligible. But you know, you take a lot of those lessons around, you know, what you've, you know, learned to, you know, to your career and in afterlife. And, you know, I really kind of took away, like, hey, nobody's going to outwork me. Maybe more talented, maybe smarter, but I'll just outwork you. You know, and it was really truly that Augie kind of experience, you know, was kind of the turn for me. And I carry it to this day, you know, as a great example. So it's, I think one, it's awesome. You know, it's good self-awareness, I think, for you to see that, but, you know, it'd be something you'll carry with, you know, for forever. So kudos to you to recognize that and the effort to put into it. 'Cause I know it's not easy, you know,
no, it's not.
Well, awesome. Well, you know, Carla, I know you need, you had somewhat of a hard stop. So I want to be a little bit mindful of your time here and get you out of here. But certainly appreciate you, you know, connecting with me here on a Sunday and finding some time to talk Augie basketball and Portlandia and Northwest and all the things in between. So it's been a ton of fun and to connect with you, and, good luck Wednesday. You guys host North Park. So that's another
thank you.
Key game for you. And, you know, let's go two in a row and let's see if they can't clean that, that floor up. So have Coach B make a few calls here.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, hey, enjoy the rest of your weekend here, and we'll see you at one of your next home games.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me again.
Absolutely.